Welcome to the Why Not Today podcast. And I'm here with Tracy Gates, and we are going to jump right in. And we always talk about why not today moments. So, Tracy, was there a why not today moment in your life that you made a decision that totally took your life in a different direction you had no idea or expected, but you took that courageous action?
Well, there certainly is. And thank you so much, Leslie, for having me on your show. Gosh, a number of years ago, I found myself in a not in a great place. And I am a life and wellness coach. I think I take good care of myself, but I was having sort of an abundance of stress in my life. I was caring for my aging mother who lived 2.5 hours away, having to make a terrible drive between central New Jersey and Long Island, which I hope you never have to make.
Oh, no.
Terrible traffic. Every time you turn on the news, it was depleting and depressing. And I found myself with an autoimmune disease. And here I thought I was in really good shape, but I really believe that that was stress induced. So I kind of made this decision that just came to me when I was on a plane flying with my husband across the country to meet our brand new and first grandson named Hudson. And I was just sort of reflecting on things as I had my head rested back on the airplane seat. And I thought, if a daily dose of stress could cause, this physical and emotional decline, what would happen if I put a daily dose of kindness on my to-do list? And it was just something that just came to me. And I just said to myself, I am going to write a handwritten, unexpected letter of appreciation to a different person every day for 1 year. And it was absolute clarity to me. And I knew in that moment that my dad was sort of speaking to me. He had passed away 33 years earlier, but whenever he was asked what he wanted for his birthday or Christmas, he said to everybody in our family, "All I want is a few kind words." And I just decided at that time, I think I was feeling nostalgic and emotional coming to meet our first grandchild, and I was sort of speaking to my dad to let him know that he was a great grandfather. And I thought, just for myself, I'm going to go on this journey of writing a letter a day for a year, and I'm going to call it A Few Kind Words. And I'm going to bring my dad along as my inspiration. And so I did that. And
I
that
love
year
that.
was utterly transformational in my life and has basically led to our meeting here.
Yes, well, we'll talk about the rest of the story in a minute. I love behind you. Is that a picture of your dad?
That's my dad. Yep, Buzz
I love
Willis.
that. Well, you know what? I think when I'm done with this call, I'm gonna put a picture of my dad on my
Oh, you
desk behind
should.
me. Somebody actually taught me with feng shui. You should have in your office behind you awards, words, things that lift you up and build you up.
Oh,
So,
well, my dad absolutely does that to me. So I'm
love that. And I love the energy that you have with your dad. And the podcast is in honor of my father as well. So, kind of a cool legacy there.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, I'm excited to hear the rest of the story. But I want to thank my friend Carrie, who it's funny, she lives in Richmond, which is south of me. And we had met for coffee one day, and I think the next I was driving to North Carolina. The next day, she sent me a text. I met this woman you got to talk to, and she Miss Tracy. So I totally trust her and her recommendations, and I usually go by those. So I'm grateful that she introduced us. We had a great talk and get to know you. But before we
Wonderful.
start more like how your year went and continues to go, what does courage mean to you, Tracy?
Oh boy. Well, I love that question because courage has evolved for me over the decades. And I wouldn't have written my book and done all sorts of things if I hadn't finally stepped into my courage. And I really believe that courage is what we do despite the fear, because we all have fear. And for me, it's a willingness to let go and to get vulnerable. I do believe we just can't become our best selves unless we are vulnerable, unless we feel our feelings, unless we acknowledge them, and we take all of our feelings along as our partners on a journey. And I think that when we do that, we are being incredibly courageous. So it's a scary thing, but boy,
It
when you step into your courage with bravery and vulnerability, the most beautiful opportunities open up.
is. Isn't that so true? And Stay in your comfort zone doesn't get you there. I just had a friend wrote a book recently. It's Chasing Wide Spaces. And she talks about an acronym, and wide is the W is whispers. Like, listen to the whispers. And we all have them, but how often do we ignore them and we let fear get in the way? Somebody challenged me. Oh, I guess I listened to a podcast, and this woman talked about the power of yeses. And it's actually Shonda Rhimes. You know who that is?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, super successful, but invited to all the stuff. And her sister's like, why do you care? You say no to everything. So she did a year of yeses. And anything
Beautiful.
that was scary, she said yes to. And so I think that's just such a powerful message that all the things we do scared. And we just have to have the
That's
courage
right.
to try it. And, I was just talking to somebody and like, what if it doesn't work? Well, you're so much better off because you did it. And you learned so many lessons because
Yes,
of it.
I believe that so firmly. I mean, it's so comfortable isn't that exciting.
No.
And we can, I mean, we cannot grow unless we are willing to step into our discomfort. And that in itself takes courage.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So you had this airplane moment, and I love that, that's why I'm calling Why Next Day Moments. You remember where you're sitting, you're probably on your we're in the left side of the plane or the right window seat aisle.
Right side middle seat,
There you
husband
go.
next to me on the window.
Exactly. You remember exactly when you were
Of
when you
course.
had that thought, which just gives me chills when people tell me those. So you started writing letters. Did you do it for a year? And what happened? Share the
So
journey.
I started writing letters, and again, this journey was just a personal journey. It wasn't something that it was meant to ever be shared. I just wanted to see if I could tip the scales back towards positivity in my life by becoming more intentionally aware of all the beautiful gifts that people offer around me. And so I knew in that moment who the first letter was going to be and who the last letter was going to be. First letter was going to be to our new grandson, Hudson, and the last letter was going to be to my father, who had died what would end up being 33 years and 9 days prior. And he died of a heart attack on the tennis court when I was 24. And
Oh.
I was engaged for 4 weeks. And, he never got to walk me down the aisle. And I never got to give him a few kind words. And so this journey was very impactful to me. And it really brought my dad back to life. And it was just, there's a whole story, I could tell you about or not, but it's in the book
I have to get
about
the
what
book.
happened when I wrote the letter to my dad. And it's a or something very beautiful happened, and it's locked in my heart forever, and I'm so grateful. So I encourage people to write these letters always and to anybody, but to also consider writing them to people who have passed away, because it's a very powerful exercise.
I had a friend of mine that started writing letters to people, and one was say not to ever send, but for her own. And I did that recently with somebody I know that passed away.
Oh, so nice.
But
But it was a really joyful journey because when I started, I kind of did a brain dump of who comes to my mind. Let's see how many people I can think of who I appreciate. And I probably got close to 100 people, closest family and friends, work associates, people I volunteered with, neighbors, high school friends, college friends, that sort of thing. And then, the rest of the 265 people was just this really kind of fun, joyful journey where I would write to people who I didn't know, but I had a positive experience with, like the barista who made me the very best chai latte that I've ever had. And we had this sort of beautiful exchange, and the woman who runs the jury room at the Mercer County Courthouse. So people like
so
that.
if you
And
didn't know their address, you just handed it to them.
so I handed it to them. I personally delivered it. And people ask me all the time. That's how they get tripped up. Like, how did you find their addresses? And I mean, truthfully, Google,
Yeah, I was gonna say you can find
White
people's
Pages, like
addresses.
you can find most people's addresses. Phone a friend, ask somebody, or you leave it, you hand deliver it or whatever. But that was not a problem. And to me, every letter had to be handwritten. That was part of the exercise for me. And it was very cathartic. And I think there's something really beautifully nostalgic about handwriting. I bet you could, conjure up the handwriting of your dad and your best friend in high
His was
school.
awful, by the way.
And you know what? Awful is okay. You
Yeah,
remember it.
but I still have my mom is amazing communicator, and she still to this day writes notes, and she's so good that she hands writes them, but she'll put a lined piece of paper underneath it and write it so it's perfectly in line. Still to this day.
Wow. Oh my gosh, I
Yeah.
have actually never
She's
heard of
still,
that.
yeah, so
Yeah.
it's lined up perfectly. But she's 84, so she's, but she sends things, she sent things to my nieces and nephews, and they can't read it because she writes in cursive.
That is something, but you know, I tell people,
Yeah.
do not worry about your handwriting, because people say all the time, "Oh, I have terrible penmanship." Frankly, nobody cares about your penmanship. If you are taking
No.
the time to think about them and to write very specifically about what you appreciate, it is the warmth of the gesture that they are going to remember, and not somebody's handwriting. And you know, there isn't anybody in this world who does not like going to their mailbox and finding a handwritten letter. And my other caveat, it's never around a birthday or a holiday. They have to be unexpected. And I realized
No, I
very
love that.
quickly.
It's and it's so interesting to say that. Oh,
Oh,
go
we're having
ahead.
a little delay here. I realized very quickly,
What
from
did
so many comments
you?
I received, that people rarely receive letters like this. So.
No, they don't. And people don't receive birthday cards anymore.
Yeah.
I remember like and sympathy cards. And I've always, because my grandmother was great at it, my mother is great at it. I have piles of cards that I keep in stock so I can send them. But like I remember even my dad had a stroke in 2000. I got piles of notes and cards and things. And then my grandmother passed away. And then, recently other people passed away and you get one. Like people just don't do it anymore.
Wow. But I will tell you that people enjoy receiving it. And that's something that you know, I tell everybody that I speak to about this. You're writing them because it's deeply important and meaningful and positive and uplifting for yourself as a letter writer, and not to expect to hear back from people. However, I mean, I heard back from hundreds of my recipients, and it really, what I heard back so often was that they've never received a letter like this. And you know, that broke my heart. It really did, because I thought, how sad that we just don't take the time to tell people what we appreciate about them. And when we do, the most beautiful energy shift happens. There is a immediate deepening of a relationship. And so it's something that I highly recommend everybody to do. It doesn't have to
So
be once a day.
are you still doing it?
So now I do it. I don't do it every day, but I do it as I find opportunities to. So, you know, a couple of letters a week, maybe.
All right. So the system's brain in me wants to know, okay, how did you find time? And was it every day or did you do like 365 some days? You did a few extra or you did every day?
I did every single day. And I mean, these letters were written on 4 by 6 inch folded over note cards, and I wrote on the top and the bottom.
Okay.
So, you know, it's not a, I wasn't writing a 5 paragraph essay. But you know, they would take me, for the most part, 5 or 10 minutes. And you know, everybody has 5 or 10
Right.
minutes. It's a matter of choosing to make it something intentional that's important to you. And so I did it every day. And I will tell you, there were a few days where I was, oh, this close to being sound asleep. And I went, oh my God, I didn't write my letter. And I got up and I went out to the kitchen counter and I wrote my letter. And so I was very diligent about the every day.
All right, so another silly logistical question. Did you use the same note card all the time, or did you just buy new ones? I know you have them on your website now you can get,
Yeah.
which are very cool.
I did, I use basically the same note cards. I changed the one that I have made and offer halfway through. But yes, so I used basically the same note card every time. But there, you know, I think what's brought me to your show is that I heard countless times over my journey, somebody would say to me, "You should write a book about this." And I sort of had my coat of armor on, and I would hear that comment and I would let it bounce off of me, and I did not allow myself to, soak that in. And
So
I
how
have
did you
want
get from the letter writing to writing a book?
so I wanted to write a book since I was in my 20s. And I'm not a regular writer. I didn't have a topic, but I had this sort of knowing that, oh, someday I'd love to write a book. And my closest family members know this because I would say it about once every 5 years. Oh, I really want to come up with the idea. Anyway, I was like the little girl who cried wolf. No, nobody believed me. I'd mentioned this book, but that was it. And during this process, as I started to say, I had so many people say to me, "You should write a book about this." And it was a really interesting that I did not sort of accept their words. And it wasn't until the very end of my journey when the last person said to me, "You should really write a book about your journey," that all of a sudden it was another aha moment that I was able to absorb those words. And I was able to say, "Oh my gosh, for the first time in my life, I actually have a topic. I have something that has touched my heart and that is deeply meaningful to me." And then there was the process of, "Wow, I think I'm going to do this, but oh my gosh, fear is just all around me. Who am I to write a book? No one's going to want to read it," all that stuff. And so it took a while for me to believe it. And that was incredible. And then I just, there was another sort of experience when I allowed myself to say, "Let's go."
Okay, we're going to hold that thought really quick. And just wanted to share with those listening that this podcast is designed to support entrepreneurs take bold action, clear steps, and start a business, get unstuck, or grow with more clarity and confidence. And it was created in honor of my father, Patrick Kane, which I love that connection with you. And
Yeah.
each week, it's either a solo episode with me coaching through common business challenges or interviews with great guests like Tracy today. And so, whether you're launching something new or navigating a pivot, you'll leave with each episode with a clear next step and a reminder that you're not alone, and to take the courage to take have courage to take action, like Tracy did. And so, if you like what you listen to, make sure you give us a review or like it, share it with a friend. And so, I'm super excited about everything we've talked about, Tracy, and I can't wait to get a copy of the book. But so, you had the idea, you decided to write a book. So, were there some why not today moments there?
Oh gosh. Yes. I mean, when I started to think, oh, maybe I could write a book, but I really then, I mean, at this point I was 59 years old and I just thought, again, who am I to write a book? I don't know how to do this. And I kept pushing it off. And then, I'm a life and wellness coach and I was working with my own life coach and I had, because I think everybody should have a life coach. And I was doing it by Zoom with a life coach who was in Vienna, Austria. And
Wow.
she had been helping me figure out how to market my life coaching, Few Kind Words business. And we were talking one day about the technology piece. And here I like writing handwritten letters. Technology is just not my thing. And I think she could sense that I was just kind of not, I was a little down. And she said, "What is it you really want to do?" And I just looked at her and I said, "I really want to write a book." And she said, "Well, then write it." Sometimes you just, and
Yeah, you need
I turned
permission.
her. It was this ridiculous moment. I was in my daughter, who doesn't live at home anymore, in her bedroom because there was a desk. And I turned around and I jumped on her bed, yelling, "I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write a book." And it was just this release of something I've wanted to do forever. And I think there's just stepping stones along the way that all of your audience, I think, experience that sometimes just it takes time. But when
Yeah.
we allow ourselves to become courageous and vulnerable and listen to that voice that we have inside of us, it is so freeing. And then I got to work and I wrote my book. And it's been, and now I speak all over the country. Sharing my story and encouraging people to open up to the power of appreciations.
Love it. So I often talk to people about business owners and the ups and downs and the messy middles. And so many people I know have been authors on here, or like me, one day I will write a book. I don't have that burning desire yet. It's
Yeah.
in me, but there's just too many other things going on. But so let's talk about the journey. Like, I'm sure it wasn't jump on the bed, publish the book, and everybody bought it. There was some steps
Yeah.
in between. So I always try to give people hope and permission with this podcast. So, what are some things, one or several, that you wish you would have known before you started the journey of writing the book?
Oh, well, getting published is far more difficult than writing the book. I think that was the biggest hurdle, but I think really what I learned is that when I sat down to write the book, when I really started that process, I realized that I was ready, and I was probably ready maybe earlier if certain things had come together. But we need to listen to that inner voice that we have, because writing the book was one of the most joyful experiences that I've ever had in my life. And I
Wow.
almost missed out on that opportunity, and I would sit down, I would light a candle, I'd do a little kind of mindfulness, quiet exercise for myself, and I would bring myself into the present moment, and I would allow myself to speak from the heart onto my pages. And I want people to understand that these things that you really want to do, that you keep shoving in the background, they need to come out, because when you are actually tapping into that creativity, you will experience a joy that you have not experienced before. And you're depriving yourself of something truly beautiful and empowering if you don't listen to
And
that voice.
yeah, why not today? Like, just do it. But also, you know, what you just said, you're depriving yourself and you're also depriving other people of the blessing you can give them. Because I'm sure you got at least one person that reached out and you said they changed their, you changed their life or made a difference in their life because you wrote the book. And I'm sure it's a heck of a lot more.
Well, I mean, that has been such a gift that I didn't really expect. I mean, I was doing this for myself. I was honoring, I believe, what I was put on this earth to do. It just took me 60 years to bring it to light. But the connections, the stories, the tears, the joy that people have shared with me because I took the time to write this book has been, has been the fuel that keeps me going. And I feel like I truly have stepped into my purpose. And I would say for most of my life, I had this sense that I hadn't yet done what I was meant to do. I couldn't put it into other words that, I mean, I couldn't define it more. And then when I turned 30 and 40 and 50, I thought, well, I must have missed it. Like, whatever that is that I'm supposed to do, I must have missed it, because now I'm in my 50s. And, when I got to 60, I figured it out. So it's
Not
never too
interesting.
late.
No. And I didn't even think about it until the other day when I started my Mary Kay career and finished my master's degree was when I turned 30. I started the LLC for Why Not Today the year I turned 60. Not by accident.
And, I think there's something so powerful about that, and both of us being 60 when we started this, because we finally have let go of judgment, right? I mean, if only the younger women, particularly, but men too, could learn that, could learn in their 20s and 30s that we're all here, fighting the good fight, and that we don't have to worry so much about what other people are thinking about us,
Well, and I worry about the younger generations. I mean, we all had those thoughts, but the younger generations that grew up in social media and like my nieces, you got to take a pic. You can't, I get in so much trouble for posting pictures that aren't absolutely perfect of them. You know, they have to be facing this way and this is the right side. And you can't be, I'm terrified to put anything on social media if it's not perfect for them. So they're living in this world of not authentic. And, you know, it took us a long time to get there. I can only imagine how long it's going to take younger generation.
I
Hopefully they
know, but I
figure it
think
out.
that's part of our job, is to encourage younger people along the way, because they need to hear our stories, and they need, if they can start a little bit younger, if they can believe in their worth, and their purpose. And that's where writing these letters of appreciation, it may sound trite, oh, it's just a nice little fluffy letter. I am telling you, the responses that I get from people blow me away. And it's not because I'm a great writer. It's because I took the time to actually say, I see you, and here's what I think is fabulous about you. And they're always specific. You know, it's not just I appreciate you, but here's why. And,
Right.
you know, our younger people can really benefit from being told that they are fantastic.
Well, I just, when I talked to you before, you kind of encouraged me to do this, and I think you're really getting me to want to do this. And I was thinking I need to put my nieces and nephews as people to write letters
Yeah.
to.
You know, and it's really fun to leave note for I love to leave sticky notes around the house for my husband, or I always, whenever I visit my kids and I leave, I always hide notes around the house for them.
Oh, that's fun.
You know, and they sometimes they find them, you know, many weeks or months later. But I just think it's the simple things in life. I know we've always heard that, but the simple things in life, like a note saying, you know, you are the most amazing listener. And I love being in your presence, you know, like, wow, that's powerful stuff. So
Yeah.
don't think somebody already knows how you feel. Tell them again, because it's a gift that keeps on giving.
It's interesting. I was having a call with a friend earlier today, or we were messaging back and forth about the holidays, and we were praying that we would each be able to have unexpected give other people unexpected blessings this holiday.
Oh, I love it.
And so,
That's
like, she
perfect.
had her house cleaner was there today, and she had sheets left over from her lake house that needed to be washed, and the woman saw them on the floor and washed them. She's like, "What an unexpected blessing!" So I think we're going to do some unexpected blessings.
It's beautiful. You know
Yeah.
why we forget about how much it fuels the giver.
Oh,
You know, of course,
absolutely.
you're doing something nice for somebody else, but these letters lifted me up. If you know it lingered. I would spend 10 minutes writing the letter, but the positive feeling that I got from that lingered, you know, hours, day, a lot
So
longer.
say, how have you changed because of this? Did you get health? Did your
Oh,
stress-induced immune go away?
yes, it absolutely did. I mean, I did go on prednisone for a while, so I can't say it was totally the letters, but oh my gosh, I feel absolutely certain that this introduction of an intentional kindness practice absolutely improved my health. And I think it improves everybody's health. You know, we don't, that cortisol roller coaster that we're off and on, you know, when we're feeling stressed out, when you start practicing intentional kindness, that levels out. It's much healthier for you. And now, I mean, I love engaging with people more intentionally. Starting conversations, asking open-ended questions. You know, everyone has a story to tell.
They do.
We have to remember to ask them.
Yeah.
And you know, my favorite thing is finding out something really interesting about somebody that I would never have known.
Well, I found with, and it's been such a blessing to do this podcast because I've been introduced to so many cool people and blessings in my life, like you. But I found people have stories behind the story. You don't always know
Yes.
the plot. And I definitely need to connect you with another guest I had was Pamela Lamp, and she wrote a book. I don't know the exact title, but it was basically she had the same kind of thing, just down on life. And she moved to a new city and she did something new every day
Yeah,
for a
it's
year.
wonderful.
And kind of like the same thing, like getting ready to go to bed. And she's like, oh, I
Yeah.
forgot to do my new thing. Like, so one day
Yeah.
she brushed her teeth with the other hand, simple
I
stuff,
love
but
it.
still got to do it. And she wrote a book and similar to you,
Yeah.
changed her life for the
It's
better.
really, really fun to just try new things because we just have to, we have to get out of our own way
We
and we
do.
have to shake things up. And when we do, we find that there's a positive adrenaline surge, you know, and it makes you, it's like drive home from work a different way. All of a sudden, you're paying attention to the houses and the flowers and the things you didn't
Yeah,
notice. And,
you don't
you know,
notice all the time.
it doesn't take a lot. So I encourage everybody to write one unexpected letter of appreciation and then also bring it to your book group, to your office colleagues, to your family around the kitchen table. And, you know, really, I'd love to challenge everybody to write a letter a day for a week because then you get to sort of
Well,
understand what it feels like to act, proactively look for it
I
and then
just had an
share stories.
idea that this, I was actually going to publish this podcast later in December. We're recording at the end of November 2025, but I think I may move it up to next week and challenge people to do it for December, for the Advent season. Even if you
That'd
did
be
it from
lovely.
January 1st to Christmas. And my friend I was talking to earlier, she's like, I haven't even really started shopping for Christmas and I've already blew my budget. And so people, groceries are expensive, things tight. I'm in the DC area. People have been laid off work. Like, but what if your gift to people could just be a handwritten note if you just did it for during Advent in December?
Thank you. I love the idea. I have given notes where I've written it on a nice piece of paper. I've rolled it up. I've gotten a gorgeous bow, like a scroll, and I've put it under the tree. You can do it in any way you want. You can buy my book, The Power of a Few Kind Words, and on the inside cover, write a note to the person. There's just
So many
our
things,
words
which
are worth a lot.
I always talk about my dad in this podcast and how it relates. And I love that yours is on of your dad as well, the few kind words. And I'm just thinking, talking about under the Christmas tree. My dad had a stroke in 2000, and I still have the letter he wrote all of us that Christmas thanking us for caring for him and helping him get through it. Like, I'm gonna have to
Right.
go find that.
Well, we do, it's very hard to throw away kind and loving words about yourself.
Oh,
So people save these letters.
yes. And
Yeah.
I have so many things. I was cleaning stuff out the other day. I found cards from my first communion that I saved. And when I
Wow.
was a kid, Hallmark, I don't even know if they still have them. They had these little books. Do you remember those? They had little teeny, they were just a little square book. And it
Yeah.
was just if somebody was sick or something. So my mother and grandmother gave them to me and wrote notes in the front of them. And I still have them.
See, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's I love it.
Special things. So,
Yeah.
well, we could talk forever and ever. And I love your message. And I will include in the show notes a link to your book, which is A Few Kind Words, or
It's
what
the
the
power of a few kind
cover.
words.
Okay.
Yep.
And yeah, we'll definitely include a link. And what's the best place to find you, Tracy?
My website is a few kind words.net, and I would love to connect with anybody, and if my story is of interest to you, I'd love to travel anywhere and talk to groups of people and share my inspirational story. So,
Well, we're going to
thank
try to
you.
get you to come to Northern Virginia for our luncheon.
Yeah,
But I just have to
definitely.
share, and I'm going to say this publicly, and sitting here looking at you with your background through the people watching rather than listening, she has behind her a picture of her dad, family pictures, and then a picture of her book. And this is probably the most concrete, why not say, moment I've had that I keep putting off the book, but I think the book needs to come sooner than later. So we'll
Wonderful. Well,
see.
I'm happy to be an advocate for you.
Okay, that's why not today, right?
Terrific.
So, thank you, Tracy, for all you shared. And thank you for everybody that listened or watched and joined us on the Why Not Today podcast. And it's your space for practical tools, real encouragement, and courageous growth. I always say I want people to leave here feeling like they have permission and they have hope. So, whether you're starting something new, navigating a pivot, I hope you're leaving today's episode with a clear next step and a reminder that you're not alone. If you want more information about Why Not Today, you can check out the whynottodaymovement.com website. And this podcast is your bridge from inspiration to action. And I'm here with you every step of the way. So, remember, you don't need to have it all figured out. You just need to take one brave step. Thanks, Tracy. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And as always,
Thanks,
Why
Leslie.
Not Today?
Great.
Bye.
Thank you.